Are you ready for this?
This week on your Pod Blast, County players and alleged vodka Red Bull binge drinking chalk.
England versus South Africa review, the view from the Western Terrace, and Stat Attack.
Pet peeves, the cricket insider.
And we look forward to the Midlands Derby, Warwickshire
versus Worcestershire.
Enjoy.
Oh, tired.
That was very exciting.
Oh.
I tell you what's coming up on the show.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have a little bit of early show chat.
Yeah.
That may die off over the course of the show. And if we're lucky, towards the end, we'll get some reverse chat.
That's very good. That's not your own, is it? We heard that on the Western Terrace.
Ah, yes, the England-South Africa review. We must return to this. But first of all, I don't like to go over the same ground and naval gaze, but there's so much to enjoy out there, particularly, as you say, if you multi-blast. So let's enjoy again the great music from the Sky Writers podcast. Oh. That is music that just keeps giving. I listened to it, and I was listening to it this week, and I thought various things about it. First of all, how much I enjoy it. Secondly, that kind of 90s beat, sort of as it is nowadays, the drop beat in the middle of it. It's very kind of 90s, and I thought it's the sort of music that trading standards officers on an away day would listen to when they're in a club in Bournemouth before getting just drunk enough to have an inappropriate snog, even though they've got a couple of young kids.
That's a beautiful
image.
That's
what it reminds me of.
I sort of think maybe the cricket writers do sort of dance around to that, and then most of the their podcast is then done sort of from the bar while they sip orange, 2020 or whatever.
Well, let's enjoy a little more of the Cricket Writers podcast.
Yeah.
And in particular, and this is the episode for last on the 29th of July, where I just enjoyed it so much, I'm going to play it for the listeners. It got really surreal. It started off with a conversation Mark Ramprakash was having with one of the journalists about the fact that county players don't really stop and have a beer afterwards anymore. And that led to the inevitable discussion about, you used to learn from those discussions and the old pros talking to each other.
Okay.
And that led to these old pros themselves, these writers, speculating on all the information that was being lost, and it created its own momentum, which culminated in this.
You're talking about there a lot of people with disposable income that don't stop and have a beer anymore. One of the reasons you sat and drank beer because it was cheaper, wasn't it?
Yeah?
It's true.
Yeah.
And true. And now it's
vodka and binge drinking.
Ten quid a club, isn't it?
Whereas we'd have a couple of beers every night.
Yeah.
They don't for 6 nights and then go berserk on the 7th.
I think the ethos has changed. Yeah.
can't be good for them lads or the game, that, can it?
This is just so rich. It's so wonderful. I can't begin to say. Can I tell you what my favourite bit is first?
Yeah.
Can I? It's the complete bastardisation of the idea of God creating the world in 6 days and then resting on the 7th. Their suggestion that these cricketers basically don't drink for 6 days and on the seventh day, they drink so much £10 vodka Red Bull
at the bar. Oh, going mental. £10. He's once gone to a club. It played that music that we heard earlier. He had a vodka shot, cost him £10, and he's never been out again. That's what happened.
These old pros, they seriously think that. First of all, what do you mean they drank beer because it was cheaper?
Cheaper than what?
What are they
cheaper than going home?
I don't know.
Someone
idea.
Charging Paul Allott to get into his own house.
I'd love the idea, though, if the old pros, if they did go and discuss the day's cricket and exchange tips, and if cricketers nowadays really did drink vodka Red Bull in a club and binge drink, but still tried to have the same conversation.
Yeah.
So it was
like, I really like what you're doing, the way you turn that ball.
Yeah. If you just run your finger down the side of the seam, it can move the other way.
Why don't we place more attacking fields?
Yeah. I've never been a fan of a leg slip.
But on this occasion, maybe you were right. it's brilliant, isn't it? It's generally just sort of old man moaning, wasn't it?
It's incredible. Those guys are incredible. They are complete moaners.
I do love Allott, though. Allott suggested that he goes berserk sometimes. What's it like?
Does he go berserk? Do other people go berserk?
He sops down his misery juice, as you suggested earlier, and then he goes mental.
Anyway, really enjoyable. Well, you and I went up to Headingley for the very first time, actually, on Saturday.
Yeah, we had the pleasure of seeing England at Headingley, and one supporter, brave and true, salt of the earth, well-spoken, eloquent, summed up the atmosphere better than any other. And indeed he did. Well said, sir.
Indeed he did. Shat all over them, didn't he?
He shat all over them. Yeah.
He did shit all over them.
He did. What a knock. Well said, sir. Yeah, it was beautiful. I mean, you see that man in full flow. It was terrific, wasn't it? What a fantastic innings. It really was very, very exciting to be there with Peterson in full flow, perhaps for the last time.
Well, I think it's the sad responsibility of the Podblast to give our listeners worldwide some bad news, Ross.
I'm calling it the retirement of Kevin Peterson. Good knock, KP. Now, this may come as a shock to some of you and others not so much, because he is embroiled in a contract dispute that I believe can only end one way, really. The man wants to play in the Big Bash, he wants to play in the IPL, and he's not going to get to do everything he wants. And in the end, the buck speaks.
Yeah, well, I think we can talk about contractual wrangles till the cows come home.
But I prefer to give me a contractual wrangle.
Enjoy the happy moments of Kevin Peterson.
Yeah.
His smile.
Yeah, he's a lovely smile.
His stride.
Oh, his big stride.
His clipped vowels.
Yes.
Yes. And all the wonderful things about him. What's your favourite KP innings?
Well, you have to go some way to beat the Oval Test when we retained. Well, we won the Ashes at home against the Aussies.
Yeah, absolutely. I think of three innings that he played. 158 against Australia in the Oval at 2005.
Mm-hmm.
The innings in the Test in Gaul, the second Test this winter against Sri Lanka.
Yeah.
And the Test that the innings he's just played against South Africa.
Mm.
And they're all carbon copies of one another. He comes in unpromising situations, never really scores more than 160. I think they were 158, 150-ish, 149. And he just plays himself in for a little bit and then goes absolutely berserk.
I think this is true. I'd like to bring up something someone said on Twitter, which I thought was, you know, a fairly good call. But he said an aggressive 149 still isn't as good as a slow 200. Now, what that doesn't take into account is the position of the game and the mentality, what was going on in there. It was a real contest. And I don't think if he'd gone in there and blocked the ball for 200, we still would be talking about us being in. I don't know whether that would have worked in those scenarios. What he did is he really, as Smith said later, he almost completely deflated the opposition bowling attack, and he wouldn't quite have done that by getting a slow 100. He absolutely took them on, and I have to say, in those circumstances, it was the aggression that really took the game by the scruff of the neck.
Well, England will miss him, but more importantly, and he touched upon this today with the press, we're going to miss him.
Yeah.
That day was boring at Headingley, cricket-wise.
It could have been awful.
I mean, the overwhelming sensation of imminent violence in the Western Terrace kept things interesting.
I love that.
That was great.
That was fun.
But cricketing-wise, as a purist, Kevin Peterson is going to be much missed. You talked about 150 and 200. That leads on, in fact, to the very next topic I wanted to discuss, which I've nicknamed Stat Attack.
Stat Attack.
Oh, that was sexy. I had a thesis statement for today. I was going to try and pick up on one element of the England-South Africa series and enlarge upon my argument using the power of statistics.
Mm.
My argument was as follows. One of the sources of power in the England-South Africa series for England, I'd always thought, was the ability of its tail to wag. I looked at the averages of the South African bowlers, I looked at the averages of the England bowlers, and I just thought, if there's any single factor that I can point to which shows England superiority, that's got to be it. And over the course of this series, I've been disappointed by the performance of the tale. It's been absolutely shocking for the most part, to the extent they're talking about dropping Brosnan, because what's the point in having a number eight who's not scoring any runs? And I went away to collect statistics to back up my argument.
Were you able to do that?
More fool me, Ross. Ooh. This is really revealing. Okay, I'm just dealing with the four bowlers. Yep. And where one of the bowlers has gone in as a night watchman, I've counted him.
Okay.
So I've always kept those same four in both
this
games.
This is very good stat work. I didn't see you'd done that. You've written it on a receipt and everything.
That's right. It's from Eat. I think I had spicy chicken and a lemonade.
I was in Eat today and I had a spicy chicken baguette and some granola.
I'm trying to stay off the gluten.
Oh.
So England have batted three times in that position, gone through the last four batsmen, scoring 90 runs. So an average, if they were a batsman, of 30 per innings, which for four of them,
it's terrible.
You've got to say it's pretty poor.
Yeah.
I thought, well, South Africa, they've got to be doing better than that. Obviously, at the Oval, they don't need to because they don't bat at all. But they do a combined total in their next two innings in Leeds of 51. So their final four are only averaging 25.5. So the England bottom four is outperforming the South African bottom four, maybe by not as much as we'd expected.
By 4.5?
But by an average, 4.5.
Not enough.
Per innings.
It's not enough because
only a runner player, isn't it?
It's awful. Because I think you'll find that on average wise, we're probably looking at Graham Smith 25, looking at Brosnan 35, Broad 28.
You're talking about Graham Swan.
Graham Smith.
Yeah, Graham Swan. I don't know.
We're looking about an average of 95
they've got to be contributing more. But
35.
Let me add another layer of static complexity to this whole thing, Ross, which is the extras so far.
Okay.
Because the bowlers are obviously normally responsible for extras.
Mm.
And the England average concession of extras per innings is 9.
Very good.
The South Africa, and that includes that time that they bowled for about 2 days.
Really? Well, that is that's one impressive thing about those awful 2 days.
It was. They only bowled 13 extras in those 2 days.
Well done.
But the South African average amount of extras per innings is 35.25. 35 runs!
Well, if they have a chink in the armour, it's in the extras. Let's try and beat them on their extras.
So, to my mind, the real interesting statistic is the contribution, if you take extras away from the run scored by the four, of the South Africans is -10.
Yeah.
And in fact, for the English, is 21. So the gap widens when you include extras, if you want to look at it that way. Where does 35 fit in with the actual averages of the England frontline batsmen?
I see.
Well, South African extras has been batting better than Andrew Strauss, and Ian Bell. It's in fact England's fifth best batsman.
Ooh.
Top of the averages, take a guess, Ross, at the moment for England batting.
Cook?
That's Peterson. Peterson. Yeah. Trott in at second, Cook at three, Pryor at four. The averages actually for the season aren't bad. I mean, they're all in over 40.
For the series, yeah.
James Taylor just tucking in under the South African extras. But my point is this, we talk about four and five bowlers and this, that and the other. The South Africans have given us an extra batsman.
Mm.
He makes 35 runs every innings.
Very consistent guy.
Very consistently. And it's more grist in the mill, I think, that England really need to look at their bowling balance. So, ladies and gentlemen, mea culpa, I was wrong. Stat attack. Welcome back to the Cricket Pleasure Dome. Next up,
pet peeves. Pet peeves. Pet peeves. Pet peeves. Pet peeves.
Well, that was a lot better than we'd expected, wasn't it, Ross?
Wow, I don't know where that came from.
MC Armstrong.
It flowed out of me like the spirit of cricket.
Oh dear, it seems almost a shame that we've got to go on to a vaguely sort of curmudgeonly topic now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because I'm quite pumped up. But nevertheless, we'll try to be serious and push on through.
For our other non-cricketing listeners, the people that listen just for the sort of witty banter, humour and the sexy, sonorous tones of our voices. tones almost, of our voices almost rough. And yeah. our wonderful pronunciation.
Mm-hmm.
I'll throw in something at the end of this. You know, if you found a bit dour, I'll just bring the mood up.
Yeah,
right at the end of it.
That's so what he's capable of. So, those of you who don't like cricket, we'd like you to sit through 28 minutes of cricket chat because Ross has promised you something at the end.
As always, I'm going to put in something that someone will enjoy every 2 minutes. That's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, all right. Let's talk about pet peeves. You and I were sitting there in the Western Terrace.
Yeah.
Beer was being flung over us. G4S security guards were being assaulted. Pork pie was being rubbed into our hair. And the smell of cordite and violence was in the air. And we said to ourselves, you know what really annoys us about cricket?
Yeah.
Small-minded administrators and petty little things.
That's it.
That's what we thought. Mm. We've got a selection of them now. I don't know whether the listener's going to agree. Mm. I think really the point of this section is just like we say things, a bit like observational humour.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, no one uses that spice rack very much, do they?
Yeah, oi, oi. What, you know.
What's up with shopping trolleys?
Yeah, what's up with microwaves? Microwaves?
By the time that you put, you know, one thing in for 2 minutes and another thing in for 4 minutes and something else has got a pierced lid.
Yeah, I'll
just... You've got to farm the cows and slaughter them yourselves, eh? And don't get me started about shopping trolley wheels and mine are their own, don't
and
they?
Lollipop ladies.
I don't know about lollipop.
No, I don't know nothing about lollipop ladies.
So things that annoy us about cricket. The obvious one that really cropped up yesterday, even though we weren't there, was they'd been off pretty much all morning for rain. They came back on. The sun was out. Then it was lunchtime and they went back off again.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
cut their lunch by 10 Terrible. Minutes. They still had half an hour for lunch, which is longer than the average office worker. I just don't understand. They've been off for hours that morning.
Well, that
And we'll
into...
take tea will be taken at 4. They've only been on for 3 minutes. It's been raining till 3:30.
It does link into my other pet peeve. What about Graham Smith? And look, you know, Graham Smith. Sure. I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm sure he's a lovely guy to his family.
Yeah.
He's a terrific competitor. But I don't believe those knocking off of the bails puts him off. And if they do, he should just grow up. Imagine how much other stuff people have to put up with that puts them off. And they just go about their day, don't they?
And then the worst thing about it is you get this enormous, tedious analysis of, you know, Finn's hitting the stumps. And they go on about it all day and there's nothing else to talk about. And it's very, very dull, isn't
get
it?
Get real.
There are other things. You know, they was complaining about the ball slightly misshapen.
Yeah.
It's the ball. Play with it.
And,
you know, if it gets misshapen.
The umpires need to sort of stick up for themselves. I'm going to say that a little bit. I think they're being bossed around by the bully fat boy, or as I call him, Graham Smith.
Well, it's not just that. KP moaning on about movement behind the bowler's arm, even to the extent of a Sky cameraman packing up his camera was apparently off-putting.
Right?
So I guess what we're saying is combination of the players, the administrators, everybody out there, you know, test match cricket is a fragile thing.
I think, you know, maybe back in the days, and this happens on the county scene all the time, but I just can't, what's going to happen next? A bowler's going to be running in, and then suddenly the batsman's going to wheel away and go, oh, everyone stop, please, David's famished. Or in this case, Graham. Oh, please, I need to go in and have a Mars bar.
And also, they never say, they wouldn't say I need a drink, would they? They'd say, I have to go and take on fluids.
Do they say?
Yeah, they take on athletes now. They don't drink; they take on fluids.
Do they?
Ooh. Yeah, and they're not really eating necessarily. It's they're fueling up.
Do they say that?
It's a bit like Gillette adverts, where you know it's all sort of rocket imagery for a shaver taking on fluids. I had this conversation with somebody at work today because everybody's been saying at work, "I'm going on annual leave."
Yeah,
all right.
I get that.
You know, you're not in the army.
Yeah,
you're not going back on leave from the front line.
I was having this. Is it the only thing I can say about this, it's to confuse it. It's not maternity leave. I'm not sick. It's annual leave.
Annual leave, which you take 3 or 4 times a year.
Yeah,
you know,
so
they take sort of
sense.
3-4 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. But anyway, lots of things about cricket to love. So many things to love about cricket. We met George Dobell down at Headingley.
What a pleasure.
The first Dobell. It was like Christmas, wasn't it?
It really was a song.
It was a real pleasure.
What a guy.
Many things to like about cricket.
Yeah.
And all those things just chipping away at the goodwill
chipping
of the spectators.
Chipping away while I watch Graham desperate for Mars bars.
Anyway, that's our...
I need to take on Mars bar.
Pet peeve.
Pet peeve. Pet peeve. Pet peeve. Pet peeve.
God, that was exhausting, wasn't it?
God.
There we go. Anyway, so that's pet peeve. We've got a pretty big match coming up tomorrow.
Tell me about the Midlands
Derby. Warwickshire against Worcestershire. I think sometimes some of our listeners do write in and they say, you know, you're a county cricket podcast, but where for county cricket?
Yeah. Other guy wrote in to give us his favourite Bible quotations. That guy, he did that.
That was nice, wasn't
he? That was nice.
Somebody else, a pure protea, pure dickhead more like, eh? Yes. Anyway, he wrote in to tell us that we were wrong about suggesting that England were going to win by an innings at Headingley.
It's a joke.
It's a joke, mate.
I don't think we're going to do that.
Anyway, mate. So a lot of ins and outs. You can always contact us, by the way. thecricketpodblast@gmail.com. We'll try to get round to your emails, but we're getting so many notifications that somebody's followed us on Twitter.
Yeah.
Or offers of spandex.
Or people telling us that someone's spreading horrible rumours about us.
Always spreading horrible rumours.
Why? What have we done?
Is it happening to anybody else?
Is it just us? I'm not a 14-year-old girl. I don't care if someone's spreading rumours about me.
Somebody was offering me a video of that slaughter in Denver at the Batman.
I saw that. That was horrible.
Did you send that to me?
That wasn't me. No. Whoever that was.
It's weird.
Get rid of it, please. One thing I wanted to say about Batman is, did you hear that Christian Bale went to visit people after that?
I saw the hospital photos.
I thought the last person you want to see in hospital after you've been shot while he was there is Batman.
No, I agree.
How did he try and lighten the mood? Do you think he came in and he went, knock, knock, dinner, me, how's the leg?
Christian Bale's also, generally speaking, one of the last ones you'd want to visit anyway, because he's not a barrel of laughs, is he? He beat up his own mum, didn't he?
Libel alert. As long as you say allegedly, does that get you out of a possible libel?
Yeah, you're allegedly a twat. We've been on the Western Terrace.
By the way, we did say, and I noticed when I listened back to an old pub blast, not that I do it often, that Atherton, with the word prick and Atherton were used in the same sentence.
We meant alleged prick.
Alleged prick. And also, that's something I'd heard. I think Atherton's probably a lovely guy and a top batsman and a nice bloke.
Top batsman, nice bloke, Michael Carberry. What a shame. We're going to come back to the Midlands Derby in a second, but just a quick moment for Michael Carberry. Broken finger in his game for Hampshire, ruled out for the rest of the season through injury, had to withdraw from the England Lions. He was averaging 69 and a half runs. He was, you know, this was, and he's getting on, isn't he? I'm afraid that
he's 32, isn't he? Was he 33?
He's 31. He's about to turn 32.
Whoa, oh, is that right?
Yeah.
What's to send him a birthday card?
Do you know, I think we probably part of the campaign. Yeah.
Do you know when his birthday is exactly?
Come elsewhere, talking about the England Lions, live update on the England Lions. At the end of the day, England Lions on their first day against Australia at 140 for 4. My suspicion, Ross, is that people don't listen to this podcast, first of all, at all, but secondly, for up-to-date cricket facts.
Well, it's as soon as it happens, it's not up-to-date. Although it will be up-to-date till 11 tomorrow. So as long as we get it out and people listen to it early enough, then that is up-to-date.
Fair enough. Yeah, 46 for Compton, 50 for Morgan. Well done. Looking like a good balanced team. Three spinners, Patel, Treadwell and Kerrigan.
Would you take three spinners to India?
You've got to take three spinners to India. I don't know if you play three spinners.
Ooh, could do, though, couldn't they?
Oh, well, they could. I mean, that's very adventurous.
I'm just going to throw some random questions at you. Who would replace KP?
On the India tour?
Yeah.
I'd have Bapara back in. Actually, I'm a fan of Bapara. I'd have him back in the squad. Morgan's going to go back in the squad and James Taylor will go out there.
James Taylor will go as well?
Yeah.
I think he will. I think that's correct.
Yeah.
Correct. So back to Worcestershire, Warwickshire. The big one.
Mm.
From Neil Radford to Paul Smith. From Dermot Reeve to Steve Rhodes. From Neil Smith to Tim Curtis. From Brian Lara to Tom Moody. From Roger Tews to Matt Rawnsley. This is the West Midlands Derby.
Well, that's very weird.
Our microphone just fell over. Almost in shock and excitement about the Worcestershire-Warwickshire match. Now, do watch that match. I want to make that the biggest game of the county season. Top versus bottom, fierce rivals. Ricky Clark, Jim Troughton versus Daryl Mitchell and Vikram Solanki and all the other characters. It's going to be a huge one.
Yeah, it's a real shame in a way that Chris Wokes isn't playing. He's might have been really fun to watch Chris Wokes because he's got to be picked for England soon. I mean, India may not be his ideal stamping ground, but he's playing so well, isn't he?
You like him, don't you? Do you put him above onions at the moment, would you?
I'm different player, different role in the team. Wokes is a direct challenge to Bresnan, I think, looking into the future.
Or Broad?
I need to watch more of Woke's bowl, I think. Anyway, going back to it, Moeen Ali, he's not been doing that great. We keep talking about him. He's not been great, but it's another opportunity against the team at the top of the league to go and do that, because we keep saying, Moeen Ali could do a job in India, couldn't he?
He could do, clean out the barns. He could get a job with the tax officials of the... No, he's brilliant. He's a fantastic player. I think next season could be a big one.
This season, slightly interrupted. Have you got an opinion on the Bapara issue, the personal reasons? Let's just think about it. I hear
he stubbed his toe.
Well, if he's... fair play to the man. Yeah. If he stubbed his toe,
that's fair, because I just wouldn't feel ready to play if I'd... like, a really bad one.
No, because it would hurt too much.
Yeah, it would totally like... Whoa.
But what if he had a stub toe on his heart?
Oh, ow.
Yeah.
That'd be awful.
Maybe the effect would be the same. I don't know. I feel for Ravi Bapara, but his back... I don't know if he did himself any favours.
He's certainly not going to be dropped after that. You know, he's not going to be in the one-day team. He's going to be around. He's going to be there and thereabouts. But... he's not making himself the most reliable man in English cricket.
He's not at all an Andy Flower, you know. He's not going to enjoy that at all. All right. Well, Warwickshire-Worcestershire proves to be really, really exciting. And we're coming up to a really exciting patch of the county championship, in fact.
Just get the calendar out.
Everything that's coming up in front. The Under-19 World Cup is actually starting on Friday, Ross. You won't want to be missing any of that.
No, I like Daniel Bell Drummond. I think he's a terrific player.
Tell us a bit about Daniel Bell Drummond. I know nothing about
Young batsman, good form, scored runs against South Africa in that tour game. He's only 18, I believe. He's a terrific talent. I think he could open the batting with Joe Root for England one day.
Yeah, fantastic. Have you got any explanation as to why we're only playing 3 tests against South Africa and they're really spaced out? There's no back-to-back test.
Because Graham Smith needs a lot of time to eat.
Well, he flew all the way back for the birth of it. Congratulations to Graham.
Also, I think because it's Ramadan, he's eating all the food that Hashim Amla would have eaten.
Yes, that's right.
That's what he's doing.
Yeah, Graham Smith is a sign of the esteem that we hold him in now, that I hate him as much as I ever hated Ponting or Wall.
Oh, yeah.
It's exactly the same.
Terrific players.
It's fear-based
hate. It is fear-based hate. It's the sort of fear-based hate that makes me wonder if I'm going to go for a poo or vomit. Well, thanks, everyone. Thanks. It's been a great show.
We'll be back in touch as soon as we possibly can, but some of us have got August holiday books, a little time by the pool, kind of catch up on our cricket biographies and autobiographies.
Yeah, what are you going to be reading, Al?
I actually haven't decided yet. I'm thinking of rereading Wisden 32 to 36.
Oh, I would like to read, but I haven't got Jonty Rhodes, I'm a Good Fielder, and Darren Goff, Why I Wear an Earring, but they haven't been written yet.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the show. You can always get in contact with us on Twitter.
Indeed.
Cricket Podblast, there. And there's been a little bit of heat, a little bit of talk about the blast. A lot of letters coming in, a lot of emails.
Sure.
A lot going round. So if you enjoyed it, tell your friends. If you didn't enjoy it, don't.
Tell your mum. If you didn't enjoy it, go crying to your mother. And remember, if cricket-based podblasts are indeed the new rock and roll, then surely the cricket podblast is Jimi Hendrix vomiting all over his balls.